subscribe.
The Geocaching Podcast is coming at you right about now.
You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
I take it something's going and you can't hear something.
Yeah, I'm not hearing any of your, like, intro.
Nothing.
Okay, nothing.
All right, hang on a second.
Voices are crystal clear.
Voice is crystal clear, but you can't hear anything on the iPad.
Yeah,
right.
It's iPad's fault. Throw them out.
You know?
Yeah.
That is called technical difficulties, and I guess that's not going to sound so good when that does that. So I will do a take two. The iPad, and you can't hear anything with that, huh?
So you need to sing it.
La, 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 la. All right. I have no idea because it's actually working here. For some reason, it's not going out to you guys. And
should we just move right along and pretend nothing happened?
I'm going to push the little button here and go from there, and then we'll go from that. So, yeah, that paused moment is made for some reason the iPad isn't pumping out like it's supposed to, and I have no idea why because it's working great here. All right. Well, hey, folks, how's it going? Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast. It's been interesting. We've had some... We had one day of spring, actually 2 days of spring. Today it actually got to 81. But the rest of the time, that cold front that came through, thank you, Scott. My brother David up in Gaylord, Michigan, said he had waist-deep snow that came through. And I was curious from Scott on how bad things were in Chicago. But it's one of those things where it cooled down a lot. So spring kind of comes and then it gives you that little nudge and then disappears again. This is probably the longest pre-spring we've had in North Carolina in a while.
Well, it's just us. We're not quite ready to let go of summer yet.
Is that it?
Hey, yeah. Andy, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Move your mic away from you and talk because I think it's your laptop's picking you up.
Really?
Yeah, and I think that's what's going on.
Okay, so that's there. My mic's off.
I don't think your soundboard is coming through your soundboard.
All right.
Cuz I heard you just as loud when you were turned away from me
right
now as in yeah. So, yeah, it's picking the up your mic up your laptop or something.
Huh.
It's not going through your soundboard.
All right. That's interesting. I have no idea why. That's
as long as it's being recorded. That's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just letting you know.
Okay,
something gimpy is happening.
Wow, I hate gimpy.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's interesting. I have no other place that it would go through, unless it's on the camera or something. I don't know. Well, we'll wing it tonight.
We'll wing it tonight. But something else is picking it up right now.
That's weird. All right. Well, we'll make do the best we can and go from there. It is recording off of the Zoom this way, so. We'll make do. All right. So, yeah, the weather has just been a bit crazy here in North Kakalaki. How's it been in the west side of the country?
Oh, it's been up and down. So we went freezing overnight a couple nights ago. It's been raining. It's been in the 80s. It's a big roller coaster right now. So, had fun though getting in the planetary challenge. Managed to get 501 points. So,
all right,
managed to get all the way through the solar system.
It was interesting.
And they rolled it out for that extra week, didn't they?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was. You know, the day after I finished it up, and they roll out that they give it the extra week. I was like, you know, it would have been nice to know that ahead of time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well,
how's it in New Zealand? So you say you're not giving summer up yet?
Well, it's we had a really cold blast come through earlier this week.
Okay.
Sort tail end of last week, earlier this week, where the cat, where the heating went on, the electric blanket went on, the cat acted like she was super glued to the heater and refused to move. Don't call the SPCA on me. She did move when I fed her.
Oh, there you go. That's good.
And then went back to the heater. But no, it's warmed up a bit. It's a bit chilly, a bit windy. Problem is, it's now pretty much dark after I get back from work, so picking up those boxes is limited to, mainly to weekends.
Yeah, no doubt.
But yeah, I've got and fun and games with fun and games with one of the lads who fell off his mountain bike at the a couple of weekends ago and is now rocking a bright blue arm cast because he's got a small fracture on his wrist.
Yeah, that can't be fun.
It's school holidays, so it's not impacting on that as much, but soccer practice is out, swimming is out, underwater hockey is out.
Is it his writing hand, though?
Of course. Oddly enough, game playing seems to work just fine. So no, he's got that till mid-May. It's not a bad fracture, it's just one of these things that happen to you. Raise kids that take risks, and sometimes risks don't come off.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At least it wasn't his teeth.
You learn that more and more as you become an adult, and those risks happen less and less.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm just glad it wasn't his teeth.
Yeah.
And it's all covered by ACC, which is our sort of state health insurance that is
broken
paid for
arms. Yeah, broken arms a lot cheaper than broken teeth.
True enough.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's see. You also had, what was this about, vent to help a cashier keep a 1,800-day streak going?
Well, there's one local guy, and I think he's actually an American, so that just makes him mad by insane by sort of definition. And his thing is that he gets a cashier day. Come what rain, hail, sleet, plague of frogs, whatever. And he's got to 1,800 days and counting. So we all got together and had a breakfast to celebrate that feat of insanity. And I also managed to finally avenge the DNF I've had lurking for far too long. But added two more to the list. But I finally caught up with my Aussie Earth case logging, so I can start looking at other trips.
Ah, very nice, very nice. How long did it take you to do that one?
I picked them up at Easter. I picked the information up at Easter.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's a classic thing of how, especially when you don't know the guy, how fussy is he going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to insist that you have a photograph of... Well, my phone's my GPS, so that sort of classic thing of take a photo of your phone, your GPS, doesn't work for me because I'd need a mirror or something to bounce the image off. No, it was all accepted, or at least I've not been told it wasn't.
I've never had anyone decline me on that when I've used my phone. It's like, it's a smartphone, people. Mm-hmm. You know, you can look on there and see it's a smartphone.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they ever tell me, it's like, you know, look at the XF data. It's a smartphone. That is my GPS.
There you go.
I saw on a social media somebody moaning about whether somebody was intact, whether somebody could claim an FTF on a virtual, and they'd actually gone into the metadata on the image and said, well, actually, the date of that photo was a week before it was published.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Very good.
Shame on you.
Yeah, really.
Wasn't me.
Wow, that's an interesting point, and you've probably just given a lot of ideas to mischievous geocachers.
You need to learn how to modify the XF data if you're going to cheat.
There you go. there's a way of doing
either
it, right?
That or build your own TARDIS, and if I do that, I can travel back in time, and all the first defines will be mine forever.
Funny. Good stuff. Okay, let's move on. We've got, please consider becoming a patron to our show. We would greatly appreciate it. If you go to geocachingpodcast.com and click on either our PayPal or our Patreon logos, and if you please could pass a couple bucks to us each month, we would greatly appreciate it. Helps keep things going and lets us do the podcast. And for everybody that has been doing that, thank you very much. We greatly do appreciate it. Now, coincidence, Scott's not here. We don't have anything for the GCPC mailbag this week. You know, that's just how it is. But if you do have things that you would like to bring to our attention here at the Geocaching Podcast, please send it to gcpcmailbag@gmail.com. We really would appreciate it. It could be milestones, could be stuff that you're doing with geocaching, ideas that you've got for geocaching, anything about past episodes, all that type of fun stuff. If you want to ask one of the hosts a question, great thing to do. Send it to us, and we will include it into the show. All right. Since the iPad's not working, I guess we can't go, I got mail! I got mail!
We haven't gotten any mail.
So, yeah. No mail.
Here's the news.
See? This is better. Taz, I'll let you start off with what came out just a few days ago.
All right. Calling all filmmakers. Submit your film to the GIFF, G-I-F-F 2018, the Geocaching International Film Festival, which returns for another year of epic geocaching moments captured on camera. Create and share your geocaching movie with thousands of people all around the world. If you're a filmmaker, a geocacher, or something in between, GIFF is your moment to shine. Cast, film, edit, and share your geocaching masterpieces with us. Make sure you submit by August 1st.
Wow, that'll seem like it's like, that's a million miles away. It's going to come really quick. So just one of those things where, oh, man, I really want it. Oh, I'm not going to have time. Start on it now, folks. It's one of the cool things. I have to admit, the past couple of years have really had some really good winners when it comes to the entries. There wasn't a bad one in the bunch that they showed out of the top 16. I really enjoyed all of them. And what's nice is after everything's done, people will go and they will rent out theaters. They'll rent out church areas. They'll get different areas to have available for them to present these and make events for them, and a lot of people go to them. It's really a lot of fun, and I think the whole reel usually averages about an hour by the time they're done.
Yeah, that's right. So last year we had 601 events hosted in 55 countries with 16,497 geocaching events logged.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Ooh.
So that probably means somewhere in the neighborhood of 25,000 people actually attended.
Yeah.
So that's a fair number of people watching your videos.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah. And we'll have a link to this. It comes right out of the geocaching.com blog. We'll have this in the show notes tonight when you go to geocaching.com, geocachingpodcast.com, I should say. And we'll have it in our show notes. Yeah,
and I'm sure we'll get more information on it in subsequent shows when more information comes out. I mean, it's usually a limit of 4 minutes, so short, sharp, and make it shine.
Yeah.
And that's shine with an N. And they usually have some sort of theme, which doesn't appear to be here. So if they do announce something theme-related, you have a better chance of being accepted if you make it fit the sort of ethos they're looking for this particular time.
Yeah, and a lot of the best ones that I really enjoyed the most out of last year did not go the full amount of time. Some of them only were a couple minutes long, and it's all they needed. They got the point across and were very creative with that. And that's one of the things you really want to consider with this. Info said, make sure you get your point across, but be creative in a way that is very visual. People enjoy that, and you can have a lot of fun. There were some really good ones last year. Excellent. All right, let's move on. We've got tonight's episode 530, Ridiculously Creative Geocaches. What this is out of, and I'm going to try to bring this up on the monitor here so you guys can see it.
While you're doing that, that title just reminded me so much of Zoolander.
Oh, really?
ridiculously good-looking creative geocaching.
Absolutely. And these are. This is, of course, don't roll your eyes, guys. This is out of Pinterest. Is the ones that I've got here that were really good. And I'm going to show you the pictures of them as we do this.
That's Pinterest. That's BuzzFeed.
Huh?
Your link's BuzzFeed.
Oh, is it? Well, I think it it ties in with Pinterest,
yeah,
with the part. But yeah, this is out of BuzzFeed, and Amanda MacArthur is the one that put this little collaboration of about 19 different ones, and I think each one has its own merit points, mm-hmm, that are worth going. So we're going to just start off with number one, a fairy house in a wooded wonderland. Now, one of the things that brings a smile to my face every time I go geocaching is when somebody does something creative with the geocache that I did not expect. And you can be out in the middle of the woods, out in the middle of nowhere, and have run across something like this. A little, hey, Sarah could kind of go with this. A little Hobbit house type situation.
I'm not that short.
She's close enough to be able to go ask hobbits for a cup of sugar anyway. So,
right, you know, I've seen some hobbit ones as well. So this fairy ones was very nice, but yeah, the hobbit ones, any sort of small tree related where it's a home, those are awesome.
Yeah,
that reminds me of one I saw, Wellington area, where somebody had been so creative they built a house, and it was hobbit themed actually, out of Lego.
Oh, really?
And hidden it in there.
Yeah. And it's one of those things too. It doesn't, you know, just seeing a garden gnome, you know, a ceramic bunny. I mean, there's so many different things that you can put out that nobody's going to find unless they're looking for this. I mean,
right,
you always want to put it very secluded. You don't want to put this 10 feet off of a trail. You want it out in the middle of nowhere.
You want it as a surprise when people have searched it out rather than kids stumbling across it.
Exactly. Or anything else that goes on.
Yeah.
Now, this one that you're looking at is actually located in northwest Arkansas. And it was a kit that was bought on Etsy, and the cache is hidden in a Play-Doh container amongst the rocks. That's interesting. To take one step further, you can find a hollow tree and a hinged door and really put it all together. So, yeah, I mean, you go to, like, Michael's, which is a craft store here in North Carolina and in a lot of other places in the United States. They have whole sections on this, where you've got just everything you could possibly think of for a little miniature village or little houses like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think a good one I've seen a couple of places is where people have used old sort of bird, you know, decoy birds from hunting or to fake owls to scare, normally made to scare off birds, and put them in those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. But yeah, lots of fun, good creative stuff. Doesn't take much, doesn't cost much, but like I said, that kind of stuff just instantly brings a smile to my face when I see it. Very, very cool. Okay, number two was called, now this one's evil.
This is evil.
This is called In a Rock Hidden Among Cactus. Now, in some areas, and I'm sure, you know, New Zealand, where everything is soft and fluffy, you don't really have to worry about cactus. But in Texas or California or North Carolina, where cactus is indigenous to the area, there's a lot of the exact same thing you're seeing right here. And putting a rock in the middle, ooh.
Yeah, rock and prickly pear is pretty mean. Those things will stab you. They'll reach out and stab you.
Yes.
I mean, you can have your hand a foot away, reaching in there, and they'll still stab you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, gorse, matagori. We've got spiky bushes as well. But yeah, that's how to win friends and influence people. But I admire the creativity.
One of the things in North Carolina that is rampant are holly bushes. And holly bushes, you know, when I grew up as a kid, loved holly bushes, the little pointy leaves and the little berries, and just made Christmas cards and stuff all over the place with them. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. They're
brambles.
Yeah. It's like I've got elbow long gloves, leather gloves that I use for going into holly bushes without coming out acupunctured.
Yeah, I hate bush hides in general, but holly bushes especially.
Yeah, yeah, it'll drive you crazy. Cactus is just evil. That is some forethought into pain to be able to do something like that.
I was trying to remember about one of the caches that I found that was hidden in like this. It was actually in Asheville during last year's Geo Woodstock that I found it. There was a couple sets of prickly pear there. And then it was hidden in a fake prickly pear at the base of it. So that was mean.
There's a special place somewhere for geocaches that have that kind of a mean streak. But yeah, as Scott says, that would be an FU hide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Okay, now this is a little more basic, but always a goodie in my mind. Number three is in a pre-cut log.
Yep.
I've seen so many different varieties of this, and people have gone out of their way to make sure that seam is about as seamless as you can get.
I've seen some that are virtually invisible.
Yeah.
And I've seen one that I went for a few years ago. It was really difficult to find because there's loads of twigs and logs all over the place until you realize that one bit of wood was a different species to everything else around.
See, that's a helping hand there.
Exactly. And what I was going to go to is like when they're really evil, they find one of the exact same species that is of the same size, and they put it there like part of it got cut down and the rest didn't get cut down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least, you know, that's the same thing with like rock hides that they have in there. Usually, if you're lucky, they'll have this little homemade rock cave, and then the rock in front of the cave is just a little different enough to make you go, I wonder. And that's what one of those type are. This is the same thing. You know, you've got a swivel connector that you have on it that, you know, closes everything up. And, you know, even with the line, that's just enough to give you a clue of aha. But if there's like 30 different downed branches in the area, oh my God.
I remember one particularly evil one. Couple of us went and picked up. We tried to get it on the way out on this walk, couldn't find the damn thing, spent about 10 minutes. Wasn't helped that the coordinates for everybody was jumping about 10 meters along this path. So we went and got the, and we came back at the end of the walk. We spent another 10, 15 minutes. And it was in a relatively thin branch. It was a bison tube that was hidden in it. And we both picked up, looked at, and put back down this. ! Quick.
Been there, done that.
Yep.
Been there, done that. Yeah, so yep. It's a lot of fun. And I you know, again, this is something that you put out in the woods, you got room, you got space to do stuff. Be creative.
Yeah, well, we got uncreative people here where you've got acres and acres of 3 to 7 pound river rocks. And they'll put one in a river rock in the middle of a field of river rocks. And you're like, you got to turn over every friggin' rock.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I'm all funned out.
That here is the micro in a forest.
Yeah.
Okay. So except for it's worse in my opinion.
Yeah, like Sarah said, I give it about 10 minutes. If I don't find it in 10 minutes, I'm done.
An evil one I won't say how many visits before I finally found the damn thing, was a bit of fake grass just at the edge of a sports field. So it was sort of close enough to the edge that it wouldn't get mowed over.
But right,
it was, all right.
The container was under this little bit of fake grass you had to lift up. And it took me so long to get up. It was so long, it was not funny.
Yeah, I don't think Corey Stevens, who used to be one of our hosts here, I don't think he still has found yet. There is a patch of grass with a pole on it, and the cache owner swears it's there. There is nothing where Ground Zero is except for grass, and he still couldn't find that thing.
There's a few, you know, from pictures that I saw, that there's a few suspect pieces of vegetation.
Yes,
that you know, I wondered, and it's like, if I could fly out there and check it out, I would. But
yep. Yeah.
If he'd pay for you to fly out there, you'd check it out for him.
That's it. So yeah, sure. There's always some goodies in that one. Oh, this is always a fun one. Number four, under a table in fake gum.
Disgusting.
Now, one of the most famous ones, of course, is out by Geocaching Headquarters, which I think Chad actually saw it cleaned up for a moment.
Well, I've been there three times, and two of the times it was complete gummed up, and one time it was cleaned up. But yeah, I managed to find that fake piece of gum
in the gum wall.
In the gum wall, where you got about a 100 feet of length of wall on one side, and then also on the other side, and then and then you got about probably 8 feet vertical worth of gum, and it's just gum every inch.
Yeah.
And well, and you're trying to find the
fake
piece
one.
Of gum that is a fake one with a log sheet in it.
One of my early all-time favorite caches, and it's probably favorite for sentimental reasons, it's one of the first I found, and I actually got to it just in time, was there was a tree branch near-ish where I work, and the kids walking to and from school had obviously spent many a year sticking gum onto it. So this tree branch was covered in gum. It was still attached to the tree and growing fine. And somebody had put a fake gum cache in there and actually found it. And a week after I found it, the local groundskeepers went out and pruned all the trees, and that branch was gone.
Wow.
So needless to say, that one is now archived.
Yeah, no doubt.
Shame.
Mm-mm-mm. Good stuff. But yeah, you can get some pretty disgusting things.
Talking of disgusting, moving
speaking
right
about
along.
Talking, number five, under fake poo in a brush.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. The interesting thing, go ahead, somebody say it, because I'm going to if you don't.
I've never found fake poo. I found a pile of something that was not fake poo, and all I can say is stick it with a stick.
Yeah, poke it with a stick is good. Yeah, because there's a lot of times where it's like it's gotta be, and it's like oh yeah, poke it with a stick. Because you never know. They have some very creative caches out there, and that's one of them. So, yeah, that's and the funny part is there are key holders out there that are made exactly for what that is. It's fake-looking poo that you put on your lawn, and, you know, there it is. But yeah, you can have some stuff. This one's actually called duck poop. So yeah, good geocache. I like that.
I was going to say, just be careful signing the log.
Yeah, no kidding. And wash your hands afterwards. Yeah, good stuff. This one I remember when these came out. Number six, driven into nuts and bolts. I remember the first ones. I think the one that was just before this one, and I don't know if it's one of the ones that they have on here, was the magnetic plates that were there. And the only reason that I knew it was the right one, because it moved. And the same thing with it's on the stop sign. It's right there. And I'm like, where could it pee. And then I realized they, and this is where the early ones came out, they only had the one side. So I'm like, okay, the nut and bolt, half of it's on this side. There's nothing on the other half. That's got to be it. And go that way. Now they've got it where you actually have both sides that you can put up that makes it look even that much more real.
Yeah, the first one that I found, it was home done, and someone took a bolt from a fence, an actual one from a fence, and drilled it out.
Oh yeah,
and put it right back there, but it had a second nut on it, and that was how I was able to spot. It's like, this looks a little bit different, and I twisted and like, oh yeah, okay, that was it. Now some of these are pretty good. Others are pretty obvious,
yeah.
But until you find your first one, they're never all that obvious.
Right. And
they're still not that obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've gotten better, too, because a lot of them also come looking rusted.
Yeah.
And it's not, nice and clean where, oh, look at the shiny thing and go for that. No, they got them for it's rusted or faded or whatever now.
Yeah.
There's one that I found, and I'm not saying where, but there was a series of real bolts on this sign, and there was one fake bolt that was exactly the same size and painted and faded exactly the same color as the others.
Yep.
And there's somebody else who was there when I found it said, now that that's back, I can't tell which one it is. That would be really evil.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, because the other one that will drive people nuts with something like this is there, for some reason, are spots in North Carolina where there are 15 stop signs right next to each other, or 15 yield signs, or red triangles, or diamonds, or any of the ones like that. And the idea is once you find it, put it on a different sign. It's got to stay in the same area, but you can choose your own random sign to put it and go that way. So, yeah, it takes a little bit more to go. Interesting
stuff.
So
that's sanctioned cash creep.
Yes. next one, tucked inside a birdhouse. This is very popular now where I'm at. There are actually a lot of the travels that I did going to different geocaching events in different states, I have found a lot of times at rest areas that people will put up a birdhouse and go that way. And the thing is that you want to keep in mind, if you are going to put one of these up, cover up the hole for the birdhouse. So that way it doesn't really attract a real critter. And the other thing you want to do is make sure there is something on the birdhouse that will give it away as being a geocache. Because the last thing you want to do is actually trying to get into a birdhouse that's real.
I was going to make comments about the sort of tagline that they put there. You don't want a jewel. You don't want birds in there, because the last thing you want to do is encourage people to start bossicking about the real things just
right.
in case.
Yeah.
My first clue is usually when that hole is solid.
Yes, exactly. if the hole's covered up, it's kind of a clue that goes on. And they've got some nice ones out there that, you push the little lever and the whole bottom comes down. I mean, there's some really creative woodworking done with these.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of really, really cool ones.
Yep. But I have noticed a lot in rest areas or behind a business somewhere, that kind of thing, and having those in as well. Mm-hmm. But, make sure you get permission before you put those in. Just saying. Excellent stuff. Let's see. Next one. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll leave this open for our gang to play with. In a magnetized gum tin, we want to do the do's and don'ts on this one.
How long? We've got loads of those.
Eltoids, Eclipse, all these other ones that are out there.
Put them out.
If you're going to do it, put it in an area that can't get wet.
Right. If it's a desert climate, I've heard there's absolutely no problem using Eltoids in that. If you put it in an area that gets wet, it becomes basically rusty razor blades from hell that you will get caught up on.
And no, I don't mind eclipse mint tins in the right place. They're good for sort of, in a sense, high muggle areas where you don't expect, you know, or just pop-up cases for sort of an event that'll come up, run for a couple of weeks and take back down
right.
again.
Yeah, that's my problem.
What I've also seen a lot of people do is cover them with camo tape or electrical tape or paint them just to give them a little bit, A, blend into the background more, and B, a bit more longevity.
Yeah, a little bit more, because a lot of times you get condensation inside and it's going to rust anyways.
Exactly.
Waterproof paper.
Yeah. That's it. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Putting them in something that's covered is always good as well. So if it's just not out to the elements, a lot of times that's a better way to go.
So in Houston, there's a lot of people that would put them up underneath signs on the flat side, underneath signs, where the water wouldn't drip on there. So it gets some of the humidity in there, mm-hmm. but it wasn't, you know, wasn't to the point where they would instantly turn into the rust bucket.
Yeah.
So you know, you can do it in a high humidity area, but if it's going to get wet at all, I would avoid doing it.
Yeah, use something plastic.
I've seen a couple of times where there've been field puzzles where you get to somewhere and you find a bucket or a bag and there's 50 of the things in there, and which one's got the logbook in it?
Very
so
nice.
They're really good if you want a lot of containers of the same size for that sort of evil purpose.
Oh yeah,
but in something else.
Another good thing for that is a bunch of pill bottles that you don't have to camouflage, and you put it in a 5-gallon bucket, and then you put paper in each of them. But only certain pieces of paper have certain parts of the information that you need.
Oh, yeah.
So you gotta pull them all out.
Oh yeah, gotta figure it out. That's good stuff. All right, number 9, peeking out of a sprinkler head. I have seen and done several.
Oh, yeah.
Like that are just enough to drive you insane. The problem is, it was one of those situations that I've run across where you go to unscrew a sprinkler head because it's like, aha, it's at ground zero, and you start going and there's a spring inside and all the water because it's an actual sprinkler head. So just put it back the way you found it so that it's going that way, because that will drive people crazy.
I would say I've got about a 10-to-1 ratio of nope, that was not a fake sprinkler head to sprinkler heads.
Yeah.
To fake caches.
Yep. Next one, number 10, rolling around in a tennis ball. I have seen this before. You know, and I guess we could kind of talk about it a little bit with that is – there are so many geocaches that are out there now that are what I would call garbage, and I don't mean that in a negative way. They're basically made to look like garbage.
Yep.
And it could be a rusted paint can. It could be a tennis ball. It could be a golf ball. It could be a bottle top cap. A lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I actually started to CETO a fake tennis ball out, and I saw the slit, and then I happened to see the container inside, plus heard the rattle, and it was like,
aha,
oh, this is actually the cache.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of the fun.
Yeah. I mean, I found things like flashlights. I mean, there's just so many different things, you know, open can of soda. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. The bottle caps, that will drive me insane because...
Oh, man, those are evil.
Yeah. You go looking around, it's like, where the heck is it? There's only 10,000 things here that could be, especially if you put it in an area where there's a lot of other garbage out. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to places where there is an old parking lot with a lot of old bottle caps impressed into the asphalt.
Yes.
And then someone puts out a fake one in there, and it's, oh, that's evil.
Yeah, that is evil. I'm very impressed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Number 11, sleeping with the fishes. This is something I'm still, I'm not certified, so I can't go diving, but I'd love to go skin diving and snorkeling to go and try to get one. And I'm sure there are some in North Carolina if you don't want to get eaten by gators or things like that. Yeah, this is the one where known as the dive caching. These ones are weighted or tied underwater, and the idea is to go and find them. I think that would be a riot.
I want to do one of these so bad.
Yeah,
probably, you know, one of the few that I haven't gone and found.
Yep.
I'd quite happily pilot the boat. Well, I haven't got a harbor master certificate. Actually, one of the lad's friends is working his way towards that. So once he's got it, I'll sort of say, "Hey, I'll buy the diesel. You take us out to these places."
There you go. Now, I do like the ones where they will put them out there, and there'll be like a bobber attached to some fishing line. Mm-hmm. That if you get the bobber, you'll be able to pull it up and go that way. I mean, there are some creative ways where you don't necessarily have to go skin diving for it, but I would love to do that. I would love to do some snorkeling and just find it. It's just there's places out here now like Lake Anews and some of the other ones that are around here that actually have crocs in them now. So it's like, I think I'll pass.
All my below sea level ones have been in – I take that back. There's some in New Orleans that are below sea level that weren't croc infested.
Yeah.
But croc infested water where they're literally on trees that have it submerged during different parts of the tide. The cache is submerged during different parts of the tide.
Right.
And you get out there in a kayak and you got to find them.
Yep.
Those are fun.
Yeah. That's one of the things
but it's not diving.
Yeah. That's one of the things that's really popular in North Carolina is kayak geocaching. So there's a lot of that here. At the bottom of a tube. Now, I have seen some really cool things, and the ones that I have actually made. Now, what they're talking about are fence posts. And taking the top off and then finding your bison tube or 35 millimeter or whatever attached to a chain or string, that kind of thing. The one that I love, and I actually duplicated it for my own benefit because I loved it so much, was they took a flare tube, a military flare tube, and attached a cap on top of it. And then that whole thing, which is like, 2 feet long. Mm-hmm. That and just about the perfect diameter on the inside of it, that you're expecting to find this little bison tube, and out comes this 2 foot long tube filled with stuff. It's really impressive, and I've seen a couple of different variations here in North Carolina where you're just like, okay, where's the fishing string? And then you pull one of those big monsters out. Very neat.
I've seen a few where it's been usually a culvert or something, and there's a bit of fishing wire tied to a fence or post or something, and then it disappears under the road, so you've got to pull this whole thing out to get the cache.
Yeah, there's a lot of creative stuff out there for those, and for the longest time, especially if you're new to geocaching, the last thing you really think of is the top of a fence post to pull and check.
Yeah, so totally tubular TTT number 4, is it still there? See if I can find a photo. I think there's a couple of photos of the actual cache container itself. But it's, let me share this. Screen share application. There we go.
Oh, nice. That's pretty much what I made.
So this goes down inside of a much larger tube. I don't know if there's a picture of the tube here. He just has it. So there's not a picture of the tube, but the tube is a 4-inch PVC or 3.5-inch PVC pipe that's 6 feet long.
Yeah.
That you have to, when you remove the top, it has a string that's cut, and you're like, you know, a newbie's like, well, it fell down in there. The strings cut. And it's like, you got to fish down at the bottom and find there's a pulley mechanism, or there's a handle down there. If you pull it, it launches that sucker out of the top.
Yeah. There's a really cool one near me, nearish to me, where somebody's put a, on it, there's a series of pipes, and you've got to the container's right at the bottom. You've got to find a magnet and gradually, and drag the magnet along around and up and down and round to eventually bring out the container. Now that one is really, that was one of those instant favorite point cases.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. There's an interesting one that a couple years ago I remember. If you want to do some really good camouflage for down, you know how where you can kind of look down a sign pole and take a look to, and you'll see the bison tube hanging onto something, or you know, so, the 35 millimeter in there or whatever. They did fishing line. They put it through because you had to kind of step on your tippy toes to look into it. They had basically fishing line. It was deeper down than you could get with your finger. And they had a piece of a simple thing, a piece of wax paper that was probably about maybe 2 or 3 inches long, about a half inch or so wide. And it was kind of crinkled up and rolled a little bit. So when you look down there, it almost looks like a spider web. So it looks like anything but the bison tube. And it gave it's right there, and you're looking at it, and it was just enough of a camouflage for it not to register as a known object. And away it got away with it. It's really kind of a neat way to do it, so something to think about. All right, let's move on. Let's see. Number 13, squeezed with a message in a bottle. Yeah, these are about, you can get these. Another form of a micro. And almost nano with those. But, yeah, you can get them for, just a little itty-bitty reduced geocache. And those are relatively popular, a lot of the ones that have been shrunken down to micro size.
All I'd say is make sure it's plastic, not glass.
Yes. Yes, very much so. Number 14, corked up. Yes, for the people that love it, putting into, matter of fact, one of the ones that I remember when we were talking about birdhouses, one of the things that they would do is they would cork up the hole and then have the, just exactly what you see here, the bison tube put into the cork. So when you pull it out, you may not notice even when you're trying to look to see what where the geocache is up in the birdhouse, and here it is in your hand. So, yeah, absolutely. Random holes and tubes wherever the crevice arises. Number 15, growing fungi. Yeah, now that one where we're looking at with the mushroom out in the middle of nowhere of a grass field, I think that one's kind of obvious. But you never know.
Yeah, I'm... Yeah. In high desert, it would definitely be obvious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, like they said,
say in the woods in autumn, you'd miss it.
Yeah, because they said this little yellow mushroom stands out enough to be found, but not enough to be spotted from afar. So, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Excellent. Number 16, nesting with the birds. Now, this one's also another one that you kind of got to be careful. I've found quite a few of these where somebody had taken an old bird's nest and hollowed it out a little bit and put a geocache in it and put it back up into a tree. It's okay to do that, but it's, again, one of those things where how do you know that it's a real bird nest or not?
If you're going to do that, I would have a, some sort of suggestion in the cache name, in the hint, et cetera, that it might be in a bird's nest.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise I personally don't like digging around in a birdie's home.
Yeah, exactly. So something to keep in mind out, they're out there. People have done it for a long time, but again, something that gives it away so that this is a geocache as opposed to actually messing around with a bird feeder or a bird nest. Let's see. Exploring the vents. Everybody wants to be one of those guys in the movies who gets to crawl through the vents, live vicariously through your geocache by plotting coordinates in front of the crawl space that only a cache could love. Bonus points for staying dry. Yeah, no kidding.
There was one in Georgia that I went to that was in kind of like a, I don't want to call it a mall, like a small business center,
right,
where they had two buildings that were separate at one time, had kind of been put together, and you got doorways that go into kind of like a walkway between them.
Right.
And they had one of these with an old iron grate style, and it's brick walls, kind of like this, but an old iron, black iron grate and stuff. And you know, I'm looking into either side, and you got these doors into businesses. It's like, you know, where the heck is this thing? And then finally spotted the grate and kind of, you know, tilted my head a little bit and noticed that there's an ammo can back there. So that was cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some really, really ingenious stuff.
I've seen a couple in big heating grills, and they've used a camouflaged eclipse tin and magnetized and stuck that underneath. So you've just got to look at just the right angle to spot it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Number 18, Beneath the Tide. What's neat, according to what they write here, what's neat about the pill bottle cache? Now, that's the last thing that I want to do, that's something that's going to get submerged, is that it's weighted to a brick so that it moves very little and can only be found when the tide goes out. So, yeah, that's something I would use something a little different than a pill bottle, because I know those are not waterproof.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sort of... That's one type I haven't found. I'm not saying there aren't them. And it's a sort of thing of choose your area carefully, because the last thing you want is somebody attempting it when it's not safe.
Yeah. So you'd have to have some stipulations in your description page saying this. Yeah. The
not
evil
after dark.
Yeah. The evil one that I did way back when I was doing geosnippets, I had styrofoam that I dug a hole in. About the size of a half dollar, give or take, or a silver dollar, I should say, back then, the big ones. And I filled it up with acrylic and then put a nano in that and let it harden just enough so that it could go through. Now, mine was made to look more like mold on a tree or something like that, asphalt. There's different things. I got a mention from somebody that took the idea, and when he put in the acrylic, he also put sand and filled it up with acrylic and sand, put his nano in there, and so that you could still unscrew it for the people going, how does that work? You put it in enough so that the cap of the nano sticks out so that you can open it. But anyways, it's filled with sand and then hidden on a beach. And that was a really good FU hide for people, because it had dulled, and then he covered it with sand texture and that. So you really, it blended in perfectly, and very few finds on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good stuff. Last one is miniature ammo box, which I thought was kind of cute. Yes, you can get those from the stores as well. If you want to sit there and play a little fool's cash with people and say that you're looking for an ammo box, and then have that little buddy put someplace where they're not going to expect an ammo box, you're going to get, and of course, the way you get around that is you put the size of other and let them figure it out and go that way.
I found a couple of these with that size and as other, and in a under a skirt, and it's like, and you kind of gave it away when there's a freaking lamp post right there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like you can still do this, still being a cheeky, but put it in inside of another really small container.
Oh, yeah.
And then hide it, because don't put this guy out in the open, because he is definitely not weatherproof.
No, absolutely not. But it's a cute idea. And again, be creative. Good things to do. All right. Excellent stuff. Let's see. I'm going to stop sharing here, bring that back, and then go from there. Let me bring this up. There we go. So, Sarah, you had one other one that you want to mention.
I think we touched on most of them. These creative caches are the really cool ones. And I've seen them hidden in, as I said, hidden in a cunning sort of decoy. Twists on the rock, it's one of these rocks.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen huge field puzzles. Yeah, that sort of thing. And I've seen under a fake plant, as it's like Exhibit A you've just got out.
I'll show you this one. I still haven't put this guy out yet. But basically, it's just a plastic sprig here with a little bloodletting tube that's waterproof. It's got a little rubber cap on the top of it. And what you do is you find a little crack in between the walls or something and place that little puppy right there. And yeah, Corey, if you're watching, it probably looks like this. I'm just saying. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I've seen a few that have needed combo locks to access when you get to them. Or, and said Wanganui's got some really great ones. One is you get to the location, the listing tells you how to open this box. You take it out, and there's a Perspex cube that must be nearly a foot by a foot on each face. And inside that, there's a maze. And you have to tilt and turn and get this ball all around a maze until it trips a switch.
Oh, and I've
then
had
you
some
finally
of those.
Open it.
Yeah.
I just don't know how anybody can even think how to create those.
Yeah, if you're talking monkey cash type ones, I actually have a video out from a couple of years ago. We were with the two Alexanders. Now, the two Alexanders, they both have PhDs, extremely intelligent folks. I'm there with Amy, and all four of us are sitting out in the middle of a mosquito-infested woods for 45 minutes. Trying to get this darn thing out. And I call it literally monkey cash failure because we were done. The funny part is they came back like 2 weeks later and finally got the thing out and went that way. But, oh, man, it was funny. We had it. And there it is, painted bright orange, hanging in a tree, point blank obvious, and then try to get that out. It's a lot of fun. And I've also done the little plastic maze and the BB thing too. So,
yeah. And one of my favorite ones from this year was a big wooden field puzzle where there's only six pieces to take it out and put it back together, but because it was huge, it was heavy, so it was really quite, it was even more tricky to get them all together.
Oh yeah.
Getting the logbook was relatively quick, but getting it assembled back again was less so.
Oh, I bet. All right, well, good stuff. Excellent. And if you've got creative caches, folks, by all means, be sure to send to us. We'd love to hear about yours. And we will have another episode sometime and discuss other creative geocaches because they're fun. We enjoy talking about things like that. And it's always cool to get the ones that have the wow factor that you have that bring back the memories. And there's a million of those. So good stuff. And let us know. We really would appreciate it. All right, I'm going to play the music. You're not going to hear it on the video, but you will hear it on the podcast, and then we'll go from there, and I'll figure out who did what, where, to when, and go from there. But again, thank you, fine folks, for stopping on by, enjoying your time with us. We really do appreciate it here on the Geocaching Podcast. All right, want to say thank you to Chad. Want to say thank you to Sarah, and thank you to you, fine folks, for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. And we will see you, fine folks, next week. Let me hit this little button here. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast, right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hand production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. This show is copyright 2018 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.